The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray. Gasper. From the Town Fair Tire Studio here in Dorchester, it's Gasper Murray, 98.5 Sports. Good morning, Chris. Hi.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good. There's actually some sporty sports stuff to actually discuss this morning rather than my usual mental breakdowns that I have in this opening segment every Saturday for the last 3 months. So the NBA released a schedule for the 88 seeding games last night that are going to be played in the bubble, theoretically, because I'd like to still think that this is going to happen. I don't know how you feel. Last week, I was a little skittish considering all the positive tests throughout professional sports in like a 48-hour period. And while the test numbers still go up, especially in Florida, what were there, 9,000 positive cases yesterday?
Yeah, 9,000 yesterday.
It does feel like sports as a whole are just going to, we're pushing through and we'll see what the hell happens, right? Like, I still feel like, even though the numbers are strongly concerning, these things are going to happen, we hope, right? I feel like
they're going to try.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see, you know, we'll see how far they get. I think they're definitely committed to trying at this point.
But for the Celtics, so their eight games that will determine the seeding are as follows. So it's good to have time, something to mark in your calendar, something to look forward to. They open with the Bucks Friday, July 31st, 6:30 p.m. It is a nationally televised game, ESPN, followed by Portland Trailblazers on Sunday, August 2nd. Miami Heat, Tuesday, August 4th. Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday, the 5th. Raptors, Friday, the 7th. Magic, Grizzlies, Wizards. In just a scan of this, and just looking at it, so they face only three teams with records above 500. So that's the Bucks, the Heat, and the Raptors. They realistically, more than anything else, when this thing was released last night, Chris, like, so there were three games currently behind the Raptors for the second seed. And looking at Toronto's schedule, that looks harder, at least on paper, and who knows what conditioning is going to be. But I just, based on how these teams were playing and how this thing is set up, they have a really good chance to get that two seed.
They do. I mean, they do have a good chance to get the two seed, especially when you look at the records of you know, who's ahead of them, the Toronto Raptors, and when you look at sort of Toronto's schedule too, which is a little more challenging, and the fact that they have that head-to-head game with Toronto, and the fact that they're up 2-1 in that season series.
Yeah.
So look, you have eight games to make up three, and if you end up tied with them and you beat them, then you walk away with that season series. You win that tiebreaker. You're in really good shape. So I think this really worked out pretty well for the Celtics, and if the goal is what we think the goal is, which is to avoid the Philadelphia 76ers sort of at all costs in the first round, and again, we'll see what other shifting happens here in the Eastern Conference in the standings, because I think, you know, Philadelphia could make some moves too. When you look at 4, 5, and 6, they're all bunched up there. Miami's 4, the Pacers are 5, and the 76ers are 6. The Pacers and the 76ers have the same record. But if the idea here, like I said, is to avoid the 76ers, this is a schedule that allows you to do that.
Which is something that I'm with you. I think that they should try to do. I know, you know, on Felgren Master in the week, Mike has thought Philly has been trash all year, but Philly holds, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, 3-1 advantage on them this season. And I just think from a size advantage, Philly's a bad matchup. Like
Yeah, Philly's a tough matchup for them.
They're like last year's Celtics in terms of chemistry in that there's very little. They're kind of a really underachieving team. But it just size alone, like I just think they're a bad matchup. And they had the advantage against the Celtics this season. I don't want any part of them in that first round. But eight games in 14 days coming off what's going to be now a four-month break when they start up. I've seen, you know, and it's like the most Celtics fan thing ever. Like, I see them going 7-1, 8-0. Like, pump the brakes here. No matter what, the play's going to be sloppy, at least in those first 3 to 5 games, I would think, right?
Yeah.
No matter what team you're going to watch. Like, so I don't know. I would expect them to have a winning record, above 500 record, but I think to look at this and say 7-1, 6-2, 8-0, I think is your expectations are a bit too high. I think that everybody's going to sit at least one game, especially these guys that have been dealing with injuries. We still don't really know realistically what's going on with Kemba Walker's knee. I'd like to think he's going to be back, but he's going to sit a game, maybe two. Gordon Hayward might sit one or two. Like, yeah, this is advantageous. I think they have an easier schedule than was maybe expected, but I don't know if you could look at this realistically and be like, no, they're gonna go 8-0 and sweep this damn thing.
I don't understand how you can look at sort of anything with any sense of certainty. Again, we're talking about teams that haven't played since March 11th.
Yeah.
You don't know. I mean, I've said this before. The whatever you thought about your team before, this is like, you know when you were younger and you're trying to accomplish something on Nintendo or Sega Genesis or whatever, you know, for us olds who play those video game systems, and you're like, this isn't going well. I'm just going to hit the reset button. Like, I'm losing. I'm just going to hit reset. You're losing your buddy. That's what this is. I mean, the competitive integrity, that the chain of competitive integrity here has been broken. This is like a restart. This is a fresh start. I don't think you can go back and sort of look at what happened before. Now, you can look at the talent on teams. If you look at the Lakers or the Clippers or the Bucks or the Celtics, you can say, yes, that team's very talented. But whatever chemistry that team had or momentum that team had before, it's gone, and it has to be reestablished. This is starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Even though it's called a return, it's not really – they're finishing the season, but they're not continuing the season. This is like its own mini season.
Yeah, it's like, you mentioned like video games, but or just like computer software. It's like version 1.5, you know?
Yeah.
It's not truly a continuation of the season. So much time has passed.
Yeah.
So much of that chemistry is not going to be there. No one's even really talked about the refs in this scenario. The refs are also going to be rusty
That's true.
You know, so.
And in eight games, I think they can have, you know, sort of an outsized influence on what happens in terms of the seeding. Look out for that.
We have Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, covers the Celtics there. If you're not reading them, you should be. Shame on you if you're not. Give him a subscription. He's always alongside producing the show. So looking at this this schedule, B-Rob, do you think it's advantageous for the Celtics? And overall, like we were just saying, you think we're just looking at the league, too, not just for the Celtics. We're going to be looking at some real sloppy basketball here for at least maybe the first five games or maybe all eight.
Yeah, no question. You might see teams just kind of treat it more like the preseason than the regular season because they're worried about injuries and just want to build chemistry for the playoffs there. So like you said, though, Jim, like the Celtics probably shouldn't do that based on having that open door to the two seed and being able to play Orlando or Brooklyn in the first round instead of Philly will be huge. The other thing that sticks out to me about the schedule, what do you guys think about playing the Bucks out of the gate? Because I think that might be a little bit of an advantage for the Celtics because Milwaukee really doesn't have anything to play for here.
Yeah.
So they might just really be easing their guys in at that point then game one. And so if that's one of your only tough opponents, that might be the time you want them in these games.
Oh, yeah, true. For sure. I'd rather get them early than late. You know, you're finishing with the Magic, Grizzlies, and Wizards. You know, at that point, I mean, the Wizards, are they really real?
The Wizards shouldn't even be.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be there. I mean, the Grizzlies are probably going to be fighting for their lives at that point. The NBA clearly stacked the deck against them schedule-wise and stacked the deck in favor of Zion Williamson. I mean, they stacked the deck Stern style to try and get Zion in the playoffs.
And getting Memphis in that second to last game, there's also an extra, correct me if I'm wrong here, there's an extra incentive in that game that you could bump them from the playoffs.
Put them in the lottery.
Yeah.
You own that pick. Now, obviously, that pick is, you know, top six protected. So if they were to win the lottery, you wouldn't get the pick anyway because they'd be moving up into the top three and you wouldn't get the pick. But yeah, if you can bump them into the lottery, that's a higher pick. For you, you're not going to get a top five pick out of it, but it's still a higher pick. So you can get another, you know, Romeo Langford type of guy or something like that. Or
someone else to stash in Maine. Yeah.
Or it's just more ammunition if you want to do something. So obviously it's better to have the pick be in the lottery than not.
So B-Rub, too, we've heard this week players tapping out, you know, for different reasons. Davis Bertans of the Wizards is one who's had a couple of knee surgeries, and he just, you know, he's going into free agency, so why risk it? Avery Bradley of Lakers, another, which I think is kind of a blow for them. That's a hit.
Yeah, it is. But they added J.R. Smith to the mix, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait for that mistake to drive LeBron nuts at some point during this playoff run. So, in covering the Celtics, have you heard of anyone wavering a little bit? We heard the reports this week on Felger and Mazz that Jason Tatum spent a hell of a lot of time golfing down at Core Golf, which I can't recommend enough. Great time, but maybe practice your craft a little bit more. I know there's a lot of hours in the day, Jason, but how much golf you spending time with? So have you heard anything, or is anyone out of shape? What's the latest?
Just from people I've talked to, the Celtics are expecting everyone down in Orlando.
Good.
And so that is, again, you know, subject to day, you never know. You know, they don't fly down for another couple weeks here, so there could be a change of heart. But that's what to expect. And as far as guys being in shape, I haven't heard bad things yet. There were some, I don't know if you guys saw the video of Cantor trying to dunk and his back giving out on him.
Oh, no.
Was posted. I mean, it was not like seriously, but it was kind of,
he felt
his airtime was not great on that one. But again, you have a month here for these guys to kind of work their way in. And for the injured guys like Cantor or Kemba and stuff, like you said, probably nights off during those eight seeding games and really wrap them in bubble wrap until the real playoffs start. So from the Celtics' perspective, this couldn't have lined up much better, I feel like.
Do you guys think that they have as good a chance as any other team in the East, even including Milwaukee, to come out and at least be in the finals, even if you want to put an asterisk on it or at least call it the COVID season?
I would still put Milwaukee number one just because of Giannis. And I think that when teams are not functioning at as high level, and it sort of resorts a little bit to backyard basketball, when you have sort of a bully like Giannis, he's the biggest, he's the tallest, he has this great reach, I think that's an advantage for Milwaukee. You know, teams, I think their defensive schemes are not going to be as on point as they would be before. And like I said, it's a little bit of backyard basketball. The other thing I would say is that a lot of these teams, and I'm going to include the Celtics in this, they're kind of like a black box. Like, you don't know what to expect. For example, I have no idea what the condition of Kemba Walker's knee is.
Right.
I feel like 4 games into this thing, we could realize that his knee is as big a problem as we thought it was back in March.
Yeah.
And that changes everything. Doesn't that change everything? If he's not 100%, if he can't really go, if he's going to be compromised, I feel like not enough people are talking about that. They're looking at the schedule. They're looking at the Celtics. They're sort of just assuming everybody's 100% healthy after this layoff. I mean, it's advantage Sixers. You know, somebody like Ben Simmons is you know, better and good to go now. But that knee with Kemba, I don't know. I mean, when you listen to Jimmy Stewart and other people talk about it,
it was never right.
It doesn't seem great. And if it's not great, if it's not ready to roll after 4 months, or if he comes back, it feels good after 4 months, but after playing 4 or 5 games, he's right back where he started. Doesn't that change everything for them? Doesn't that change the entire equation?
Oh, yeah, no. If he's not there and he's not, you know, say 85%, then, yeah, their chances to come out of the East drop dramatically. They're the Pacers, you know? Like, they're just another kind of middler.
And then with COVID, too, it's like all these teams are like a black box. You have no idea, like, what have guys been doing? What kind of shape are they in? Who's going to contract COVID? Did somebody injure themselves during this? Who's going to show up like Sean Kemp? There's so many variables here.
I still can't. That's maybe the thing I'm most interested in. League-wide, just in regard to the Celtics. Anyway, I just want to see who's going to show up like Sean Kemp and who has just put on the COVID-19. Doesn't mean they don't have the virus. They've just put on about 20, 25 pounds. It's like, oh, fatty, fat, fat, fat. What have you been doing? Some of the guys have surprised me. Some of the guys that we, you know, we discussed in the afternoon show, Chris, we thought were going to be fat, aren't. They're anything but James Harden, svelte, because he hasn't been able to go to the clubs and pound tequila and get lap dances all night.
Jokic.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic now looks like Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
And he caught the COVID out in Europe, but apparently is okay and is going to be flying to Denver soon. Who was the other one, too? There was the third guy that was like, oh, wow, I expected him to be fat. Well, those two stood out. But so, yeah, someone's still going to show up and be a blimp, and I can't wait to see that.
I know. I want to see that, too.
So I want to know your guys' thoughts for Celtics fans. You've looked at this. We know what the times are going to be. We see what these first 8 games are going to be. You're feeling pretty confident about it. And I also want to talk about what you think, you know, B-Rob and Chris, I want to get your thoughts on stylistically, too. Like, what kind of games we're going to be looking at? Are we going to be looking at games that are going to be low-scoring initially here or throughout these first 8 games or games up in the 120s, 130s because everyone's going to be terrified to play defense because of the coronavirus? We'll get to that. And your calls coming up here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So the Celtics know their 8 games are going to be playing. That will determine seeding as the NBA put out the full schedule last night. The 88 games are going to be played. I think it's advantageous for the Celtics. Again, they're only playing 3 teams with records over 500. You know, but I think you're going to be looking at sloppy basketball for at least a portion of these games, maybe all eight throughout the league. So to the both of you, Chris and Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, who covers the Celtics, is producing the show. Stylistically, just throughout the league, not even the Celtics, what do you think we're going to be looking at? Like, are we looking at games in the 70s? It's because, you know, it's just going to be tight. Guys are going to be out of shape. They're going to be working themselves into shape. They're trying to get the chemistry back. Or is this going to be, you know, like sons of the early aughts, because everyone's terrified to play defense and we're looking at games finishing, you know, 133-130.
I think we're back to, in some games, 1980s Doug Moe Denver Nuggets style basketball, which, for one, I will embrace.
And B-Rub?
You know what? I think that we're going to see just sloppy play.
Yeah.
I think we'll go more towards the Doug Moe stuff at the end of the season games, but early on, I just think we're just going to see a lot of rusty guys. And it's a good point about the defense, Jim, being like, in terms of guys being worried, but I think maybe they are just going to accept, hey, we're in the bubble together, so like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I just think guys are going to be missing all sorts of shots here.
I think you're also going to see a lot of like huffing and puffing and short grabbing early on.
Short, oh yeah, short grabbing, hands on hips.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The old, as a fat kid, I can tell you the pain you get in your side when you run too much, like the... yeah, so someone's going to be out of shape.
The pain, you know, Gamzu gets when he hits that controller too hard.
Yeah. too much thumb mashing. We with the uprising, we need to try to win this match. It's going to happen. Someone who's going to be out of shape. That might be the thing I'm most interested in the return of the NBA. Who's going to be a fatty, fat, fat, fat? Jake in Boston, who do you think is going to be out of shape?
How about Jason Tatum? I mean, I'm worried about his emotional and intellectual maturity right now. He's got a toddler, right, Jim? Like,
yeah.
2 years old. So daddy's going to leave a two-year-old to go into this bubble for, what, 8 to 10 weeks? 2 months? 3 months? Then he goes, during the quarantine, brags about not having a basketball hoop, so he hasn't practiced, gets into golf, so again he hasn't practiced. And then did you see this yesterday, Jim? He adopted a four-week-old puppy, and I love puppies, but at 8 weeks old, he gets to take that thing home, and 8 weeks is the last week of July when he's going to be gone. So who's going to raise the puppy he just adopted and went to Nicole Yang to get coverage for? Is it his mommy? So if it's not going to be Jason Tatum, I don't know. Jaylen Brown may get thrown off by a presidential tweet and go off and run and protest, but Tatum and Brown are not to be trusted in this environment. And granted, if I were Tatum, I wouldn't go anyways because I'd be risking my Supermax, especially with a tournament that's going to be rigged for LeBron. But Jason Tatum has his head nowhere near the game at this point.
I keep hearing this from some concerned Celtics fans that Tatum is either not going to take part in this or his head's half going to be in it because maybe, you know, he's got a young son concerned about that. Maybe it's the contract looking forward. That puppy, by the way, if you haven't seen any photos, I retweeted it the other day. It is adorbs. It is, I think it's a rare blue French, not French poodle. It's a French bulldog, I believe it was. Oh,
yep.
Adorable.
Yeah, you really do love animals more than people.
Without question. You know, concerns about Tatum. You say, B-Rob, that he's, you know, taking part. We've seen some of the videos and the stills from the Auerbach Center, so he is practicing. But you do hear that he's playing a lot of golf. And there was that thing initially that you heard he didn't have the hoop, which irked me. I don't know. Any concerns there? Have you heard anything?
He's had the hoop for a couple months now. I don't know. I always looked at this where it wasn't a great look at the start, but it wasn't like he was going to forget how to shoot. So he comes in now. There's going to be pressure on him. No question. The microscope's on him. But I feel as good about Jason Tatum as anyone on this team. And if he wants to play golf to cool off, like, so be it.
Yeah, I just, you know, it would. I can understand the frustration, though, if he doesn't come back and people, you got to give these guys a little ramp up, right? Just like, let's be fair. But considering how well he was playing before the shutdown and how well he played for pretty basically the month of February, and I think for me and others, it's like, oh, there it is. He finally is. He's unlocked it. He's finally.
9 of his last 15 games, he scored more than 30 points.
And he was great on the other end of the floor, too. Think of the game that he had against the Clippers and how he held Kawhi in check, too.
Great.
So if he doesn't get to that again, like, let's
But that's not fair, though, to ask him to. I mean, any player. to take 4 months off, and now we expect you to just pick up where you left off and start averaging, you know, 28.5 points a game, which was what he was averaging over the final 15 games he played. Like, that's not...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That doesn't happen, and people, like, he should have gotten a hoop. That's just idiotic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There needs to be a... You have to allow a ramp up here, but once they're in the playoffs, like, I think it's fair to look for that kind of performance once they're in the playoffs. Like, in these first 8 games, you've got to give them ramp-up time.
But I don't even know if 8 games is long enough. I mean, it might take a round or two. I don't know. I mean, this is a fresh start. The one thing I'll say, I know people are concerned. I'm not as concerned, and I'll tell you why. One simple reason. He's 22 years old. When I was 22 years old, I was like friggin' Superman. Like, you can bounce back from anything. He'll get in shape.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the shot will be a little off, but he'll, like, get back in shape in, like, a week. I mean, you remember what it's like to be 22.
Oh, do anything for it, Chris.
I mean, his body, it's like a rubber band. His body will just, like, snap back. Now, he might be rusty in terms of some basketball skills, and that's what I mean in terms of give him some time. But I'm not worried about him, like, showing up like Sean Kemp. And we've seen, I know I've seen the story, like, Jaylen Brown's been training with his grandfather. So I expect Jaylen Brown to be in great shape.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Jaylen Brown whatsoever. Oh, man, to be 22 again. Just the bounce back that you would get from partying. Man.
Oh, yeah.
You're fine the next day. You have a Mountain Dew to wake up or whatever it is, a Red Bull. And then you're right back at it. Now? Oh, gee. It's not even the next day, because the next day the alcohol is still going through your system, Chris. It's the day two. That's when it really hits you.
You just can't filter anymore.
Like
you can't filter it out.
Oh, it's awful.
It's like a dirty air filter in your car. That's what your body becomes.
My body is just... one big dirty air filter that can't be clean.
That's right.
So, all right. So, like, you know, we opened saying, and I said, it does feel like NBA, all these professional sports leagues, they are going to hammer through no matter what. But it still is surprising to me that this is going to be taking place in Florida. I do wonder, you know, internally if, you know, Adam Silver and some of these commissioners, or MLS too, that's going to be taking part in Orlando, they'll look at this like, we've made a bad decision. We should have went somewhere else or tried to wait. I mean, you see what the numbers are. 2 weeks ago, Florida's record for newly confirmed virus cases in a day was over 1,600. Yesterday, they have over 9,000. The NBA announced yesterday 16 of 302 players headed to Orlando tested positive. So it's a low infection rate, 5.3%. But 16 positive tests, almost the equivalent of an entire roster, bring the virus into a bubble. So looking at this realistically, do you still think there's a chance that this gets paused or they just tank it somewhere along the way, even in the middle of these 8 games they're going to be playing?
I think that if it rips through a team and it's a contending team, it's the Lakers or the Bucks, and all of a sudden there's like 7 guys that have it, then how can you keep going?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you do it?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking roster filler, you know, third guy depth chart, something like that, you can still hammer through.
Yeah. I mean, but... like if Time Lord gets it, you know, it's like, okay, there's a way around that. But if it happens, let's say it happens on the Celtics and Walker, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, Marcus Smart, all get it. And I know Marcus Smart's already had it and he was asymptomatic, but I'm just saying hypothetically that all happens and those guys all have to take, you know, 2 weeks off at like the same time. And it's the first round of the play. So you're just going to basically be like, oh, coronavirus eliminated the Celtics. Like, that doesn't seem very fair.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, how they've talked about it, and especially the NBA, which I think is the most progressive of any of the professional sports leagues in this country, they are kind of contradicting themselves. Like, you know, any of these leagues are talking about, you know, trying to do the right thing, the safe thing. Certainly the NBA, you know, I think is at the forefront of actually, you know, trying to be, you know, for societal change and how they're handling Black Lives Matter and all of that. But you're still, I can understand why guys, like, while I didn't really like how Kyrie handled the message, it is like, well, do you care about us? Shouldn't you? Isn't the right thing? The argument of we should just shut this all down for any of these leagues, I can completely understand. Because it's, if you are still trying to hammer this through, what do you really ultimately care about? And it's your bottom line, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, there's no question about it. But you have to remember, the NBA, I think, will be a little more sensitive than some of the other leagues, and I think they will be a little quicker to shut it down because they were the first league here to shut it down in the first place. You know, they were really very sensitive to it when Rudy Gobert tested positive in OKC with the Utah Jazz. So I think that if they get something where it runs rampant through a team, I do think they'll shut it down. But all these sports teams, and I think we know this as fans as well, right? Everybody here, I don't think there are any Pollyannas here. We all know there are going to be positive cases.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given. and the teams and the leagues are willing to try it, knowing there will be positive cases. The question is, can they contain it? Can they stop it from running wild, spreading through a bubble, if you're talking about the NBA and the NHL, or, you know, spreading wildly through the league if you're talking about MLB or the NFL? And that's really, I think, where the rubber will meet the road, because there will be positive cases. But if you have it wipe out, you know, 7 of 17 guys on an NBA roster and they happen to be some of the good players, then I don't see how you can keep going. I mean, that's really affecting the competitive integrity of the restart if a team is without, like, 7 rotation guys.
Yeah. Well, no matter what, it does feel like, as of today, Florida not the safest place to be holding the NBA bubble, but they are going to go through with it. And regardless, you know who doesn't care about it at all?
Who?
The former Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady. Safe, not safe? I ain't afraid of no Rona. We'll touch on that because Chris has some strong thoughts on it next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So former Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, still weird to say that. Now Bucks quarterback Tom Brady and some of his teammates, including Rob Gronkowski, kept practicing this week, undeterred by the pandemic and the recommendation by the NFL Players Association that players refrain from gathering in groups to conduct their own workouts ahead of training camps, which are still supposed to open a month from tomorrow. That, according to Jeff Pasch of the NFL, he and the commissioner are talking to media members just a couple of days ago. Seems aggressive. We'll see, especially on that same day when they're canceling the Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and Steelers and pushing the Hall of Fame ceremony to 2021. They're talking out of the other side of their mouth saying, like, fans this fall? Yeah, it could happen. Training camps? 28th July. See you there. Okay. But be that as it may, Brady, his Bucks teammates out there thumbing their nose at this thing, according to some people. How do you feel about it? You think it's a bad look, especially because of how he's promoting it on Instagram, eh, Chris?
Yeah, I have a bigger issue with sort of his reaction and his attitude, almost clapping back on Instagram using the FDR quote, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and sort of not taking the coronavirus pandemic seriously. Just because you're a professional athlete who's in really good shape and you feel like it's not really a threat to you, that doesn't mean that it's not a threat to other people. It also bothers me that they're doing these workouts. And again, I don't love it. I don't think they should be doing it, but I'm not really going to hammer him, condemn him for doing the workouts. But after the workout, like, would it kill you to just slam on a mask? Like, after the workout's done, like, you and Gronk are talking, could you guys just slap masks on? Is that too much to ask? I don't think it is.
Especially for a guy who's so, I think, conscious of his...
image?
Yeah, his image. For a guy who's always trying to look like he does the right thing. You know, it's one of the reasons I didn't like, at the end, how he handled things, and that he refused to be the bad guy. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of rational people, you know, we are the mask right now. You're a bad guy, Tom. So not only are you putting up these photos and putting that FDR quote up there on Thursday, which I at the time felt like, oh, he just stepped in it right here. Cause that to me was a middle finger in a lot of ways.
It felt like it.
Oh, you don't like me out here practicing? Well, I think you're a puss for being afraid of the coronavirus.
Exactly.
Here's me chugging some water, by the way, buy my Protect for $50. Cause that's what's keeping me safe. I was just like, oh, this is kind of gross. So, you know, like, he didn't handle everything at the end here in New England with Bill that great because he just refused to be the bad guy. And, you know, I plead the fifth when asked by Jim Gray, like, do you feel appreciated, Tom, by the Patriots and the organization? I plead the fifth. Like, he just didn't look like the bad guy. And right now, it's like,
but you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just to go back to that, you know, and I've told you this for years, and I know you agree, that the key to any Jim Gray interview, Tom's answer is already in the question. Jim Gray Tom's real answer is in the question.
Yeah.
So when Jim Gray says, do you feel like the Patriots don't appreciate you? And all of a sudden he goes, I plead the fifth. No, Tom's real answer was the question that Jim Gray asked. It's like Tom has his hand up Jim Gray's keister.
It's
like,
true.
It's like a puppet that says, like, you know, this is what I'm really saying, you know?
But he did overall, I think, take a passive-aggressive approach. With this, it's like he's embraced the bad guy. Like, he's bad Brady. Like, he's truly a Buccaneer, you know, in every sense of the word. So while I don't, you know, I saw there was a column by Gary Tanguay of NBC Sports Boston, who's like now no longer a fan of Tom Brady, and he's just super pissed at him. And I think a lot of people are. I get it. I'm not one of them, but But even I, who are, I'm certainly no finger-wagging Nana.
No,
Mike,
you're definitely not.
No Mike Florio.
I knew you were going to say that.
I knew when he posted that one with the FDR quote, I was like, oh, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're kind of a dick. Like, just post the photo. If you just want to practice, like, I get it. Like, you're now reinvigorated. You got a fire under your ass. This is coming from a place of spite. Not only do you want to succeed with the Bucks, and you have all these weapons now. You got Gronk again. I know you're trying to stick it to Bill. I can appreciate that. But don't put in the photo with the photos of working out of, oh, by the way, buy Protect. It's $49.99 at TB12.com and use the FDR quote, which is really, again, I think a passive-aggressive way of saying, ah, I'm not afraid of it. You guys are pusses for being afraid of it. Like, dude, what are you doing? It's just a bad look.
I agree. I mean, I think it comes off as irresponsible, insensitive, and to a certain degree, ignorant. And those are not terms I would normally use to characterize Tom Brady, but I think in this case, that's how it comes off. And I think that when it comes to the stuff like Protect, and I know you've called it profiteering, and I certainly don't approve of the price of it, but I know he really believes in this stuff and believes in his training methods. And so I think it's a little bit like Kyrie Irving. Boy, I never thought I'd put Kyrie Irving and Tom Brady in the same sentence. But it's a little bit like Kyrie, where it's the intentions are good. The heart is in the right place. But the message that's being delivered and the way it's being delivered is misguided. You know, I think Tom really thinks, like, I found something that works. I'm immune from coronavirus. You can be immune, too. Use these. I think he truly believes that. He's not like, hey, here's the snake oil I'm pitching. That's not the way he is. He actually believes that what he's put together with Alex Guerrero, that they found something that will boost your immune system and make you immune to coronavirus. And maybe it works for Tom because he's a highly tuned professional athlete. But, you know, Joe Blow or, you know, hot, sweaty, panting Gamzu playing his video games, like, taking that's not going to prevent you from getting it automatically. And I feel like he just doesn't realize that.
Yeah, you mentioned this yesterday in your appearance on Felger and Mass, because I had been under the impression this is coming from a place of
exploitation.
Yeah, greed, in a way, you know, like, okay, like, buy my junk. And I mean, look, it's a capitalistic society. I'm sure for that. Make that money, but just do it in a responsible way. I find it irresponsible. He's trying to play on the fears of people right now to sell this junk. But then I was thinking about it. When you said this, it's like, well, maybe it is coming from that kind of place. And maybe that's even more dangerous. So at least if you're coming from a place of greed, well, I mean, that's as American as it gets right there, just trying to make an extra buck, get that money. But if he really believes this, and I do think, like you, Chris, like he really believes this, well, that might even be more dangerous. Like, that this junk works. You need to buy this junk because I believe that it works. Like,
yeah.
You're a whack job.
I mean, I think somebody else has convinced him to a degree that it works. And, you know, he hasn't gotten it yet, as far as we know. And so I think he feels like, oh, I don't want to say he feels like he has the cure. But I think he honestly feels like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I'm keeping safe because I'm taking these products and I'm boosting my immune system. And I'm telling my other guys to do it, too. My problem now with the practices, just overall, globally, is that, okay, so you want to do some throwing sessions. I get it. But now you're bringing all these other guys together. And some of these guys in the Bucs, do you think that every guy feels like they want to be out there and it's 100% safe to be doing these practices? Or do you feel like there's a guy who's like, if I really had my druthers, I wouldn't be out here. But oh, it's Tom. He's the new, like, BMOC of the Bucs. And I don't want to get off on the wrong foot with Tom. I've read some of the stuff that he can really write off. You know, a receiver, if you don't do this. And then there was the stuff he said on Stern where he said he just wouldn't throw to a guy. And I feel like he's sort of peer pressuring players into practicing with him, whether they feel safe doing it or not.
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely peer pressure involved. It was, you know, say, you know, Chris Godwin's only in his second year, right, or third year. And I know he's had a pretty good career so far. But some of these younger guys, they have to be feeling the pressure of, I better show up to this or I'm going to get shut out here.
Yeah.
You know, I got to try to get mine, too.
Yeah,
because
if you're Cameron Brate or O.J. Howard and you know Gronk's on the team now.
Oh, yeah.
And Gronk's going to be there. Don't you have to show up? Like, whether you feel it's safe. Yeah. Do you think the Harvard guy thinks it's safe to show up and do these workouts? Cameron Brate.
Oh, of course not. No, that's a great point. Yeah. Oh, no, but I got to get mine. Like, now he's got Gronk. I'm never going to see a ball thrown my way again. Fine, I'll be there. Oh, without question, there's peer pressure involved. This is now a bit of a cult that's going on with these workouts. And if you're not part of the cult, well, you're not going to be part of it when the season actually starts, if and when that it does. So, again, I ultimately have no problem with the practices. It's that he's turned it into an FU. Like, oh, you're mad that I'm out here practicing? Dude, just, like, ignore the noise. Like, you know, I have to take that advice, too, when it comes to social media and stuff. But you, Tom Brady, like, you're in great shape now. You got Gronk. You're on your way, I would think, to having a good season. You're going to try to stick it to Bill. I think you're going to have a good year. But Don't do the stuff on social media where you're posting the FDR quote and be like, you guys are a bunch of babies. You're afraid of this. Buy my protect. You want to be like me. Like, that's how it reads. And it's just, it is a bad.
It comes off as tone deaf. And also, it's just a little alarming. Like, you know, he's sort of building his, like, coronavirus circle of trust. You know, like, that's like, you know, who's dedicated enough to the team? And he's not saying this, but tacitly, who's dedicated enough to my crusade to prove Bill wrong and light it up? To show up and practice with me at this school. Like, who wants it? Because I think it could easily be construed or portrayed, in Tom's mind at least, if someone doesn't show up or doesn't feel safe, okay, this guy doesn't really want it bad enough. He's not like a, you know, almost in like that Michael Jordan way, like from the last
games, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, well, I'm sorry. Like, if you didn't want to be a winner, like, you weren't going to be on my team and I was going to let you know about it. There's a little bit of that to this, I feel like.
Has Brady become a villain to you in your mind because of how he's handled these practices and he's posting the FDR quotes and basically calling you, me, and everyone else a bunch of pusses for being afraid of the coronavirus? 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up next here. Casper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper Up. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, what do you make of Tom Brady and how he's been practicing with his Bucks teammates this week? Feel a little culty to you? And that he's thumbing his nose at society as a whole, who might be looking at him as like, Tom, what are you doing here? Why do you keep posting this stuff on Instagram? And then he, just 2 days ago, as part of his Instagram stories, uses the FDR quote from his inauguration in the early 30s of, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, which reads to me as, you're afraid of the Rona, you're a puss. So your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Alec in Sudbury, you're first up here on Gasper Murray this morning. Hello, Alec.
Hey, guys. Like everybody, I've been a Tom Brady fan for 20 years, and it's been a great run. I feel like we're giving him credit for being way smarter than he is with things like business and nutrition. I mean, he's a wizard on the football field, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily translate everywhere else, and I think it's starting to show in his interviews and the way that he's running TV12 and his time with the Bucks.
All right, thank you for calling from inside of a hairdryer. I think he's a smart football player.
Yeah.
Smart overall? I remember, what was that, the email that we got to read from the Deflategate Times?
Yeah.
Where it was
the one about Peyton Manning from his buddy? Or was it a different one?
The pool cover one, where it was lack of punctuation. It was, I think, to, who was the guy that was his right-hand man? Still might be for all those years.
Will McDonough?
Will McDonough.
Will McDonough is not still his right-hand man, but he was for a long time.
Okay, I didn't think so. But it was one of those emails to him, I believe, if I recall this correctly. And it had to do with a pool cover, and it was like lack of punctuation. Not really, some words spelled incorrectly. I remember reading that and being like, oh, he's just another dummy. Like, and I don't just, I think he's been easily manipulated by, who's the guy with the teeth? You know, guys like that.
Alex Guerrero?
No, well, Alex Guerrero for one, but then there was Tony Robbins. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right, because he is a Tony Robbins. He did that Tony Robbins thing.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. When you fall into those kind of things, it's like, oh, you're a rockhead, aren't you? Like, so, smart football player, greatest football player of all time, everything I ever wanted to root for as a sports fan. But off the field, yeah, I think he's an unrelatable weirdo, and maybe not that bright. So this is maybe what we're seeing here, that he's thumbed his nose at the Rona and posting these kind of things, and it's like, okay, we see the pretty picture. You look great. You got your revenge body back. You gave up here at the end. The husband, Bill, wasn't treating you right. Now you're gone, off to a fancier, well, not a fancier place, a warmer place in Tampa. It's a hellhole, mostly. But you got the revenge body rocking. You're going to try to prove everyone wrong. All right, looks great, but the FDR quote? Like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, and honestly, it's the FDR quote that I have a bigger problem with than the practice. I don't agree with the practice, but I'm also not going to sort of, you know, shame him over it. It's sort of like the, you know, I'm a little into mask shaming. I could practice shame him, but I'm like, it's Tom Brady. I'm not going to do that. I understand why they're practicing, even though I wouldn't do it and I disagree with it. But I think when it gets to a point where you start sort of just flouting medical convention and flouting the fact that this is a serious health issue for a lot of people, and also to tie it back to the practice. If that's the attitude that you are giving to all these guys who are now following you, and those guys are going back out into the world and into the Tampa community, and they're walking around and not wearing masks, or they've just been part of your practices and you guys are just swapping it back and forth, that's not great.
No, it's not. Not at all. Joe in Manchester, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'll just make a quick point. I think, you know, what we're seeing is really just a natural evolution. And what I mean by that is he signed in Florida, and he's a Florida man now. So shirtless body pics, not being interested in science, defying science, right? Like trying to sell snake oil products. This is the new Tom Brady. He's just a Florida dude. That's all, guys.
It's Florida man, yeah. Holds football practices.
Trying to track down this email that he had.
Trying to look at it.
Yeah.
I don't remember this one. I mean, I vaguely remember what you're saying about the pool cover thing, but I don't remember. This email obviously stuck with you. And I remember the one like about like Peyton Manning and how he was going to outlast Peyton Manning and all that. But I don't remember this pool cover one.
This was between him and Ben Rawitz.
Yep.
And it was a whole chain. Yeah, he just came off as a bit of a rockhead. It's a lot of F-bombs and stuff like that, lack of punctuation. I don't know.
While you're looking that up, can I add one other point that surprises me a little bit about his sort of cavalier attitude towards coronavirus? You know, obviously his wife, Gisele Bündchen, is from Brazil and has family there, and they are really in the throes of an outbreak.
The country that's handled it the worst, right?
Well, other than America.
Well, right.
But it's really bad. I mean, you just had a federal judge down there fulminate against the president, Bolsonaro, and basically order him to wear a mask because he wasn't wearing a mask, you know, much like our president is not wearing a mask. But I guess down there, the restrictions are codified a little bit differently. So, like, you, like, legitimately have to do it. It's not like a sort of state by state type of thing. And so they're having real issues down there. So I would feel like that he would hear from his wife and from his wife's family that, hey, you kind of have to take this seriously. I mean, I'm just reading the story, and it's saying Brazil's a global hotspot. They have over 1 million registered cases and 53,830 deaths. And they're really going through it. So I'm surprised that hasn't kind of filtered into his world.
Well, yeah, considering how, you know, that she's from there, how strongly she feels about her homeland. Yeah,
exactly.
No, that would be a good point here. Yeah, I'm just reading this and this, trying to scan through this article by Bloomberg. Pandemic's worst case scenario unfolding in Brazil. Overflowing hospitals, widespread corruption, and a chloroquine-obsessed populist in charge. Wait a minute. It doesn't sound good.
No. I mean, it's really, they're struggling. And so I'm just surprised he hasn't heard about this, or that it hasn't been brought into his world, and that he wouldn't sort of look at it differently.
617-779-0985. You want to talk about Brady, how you feel about this? Some people are pretty pissed that Brady, not just the practicing, like, I'm okay with the practicing, but just don't be so, don't shake your ass in everyone's face. Like, I'm practicing, nothing you can do about it. If you're afraid about the Rona, you're an idiot. Like, that's how that FDR quote reads to me.
Doesn't it tell you, though, and I know this is what Patriots fans are probably going to say and we're probably going to talk about next, but isn't it amazing? Like, he's willing to practice in the offseason through a global pandemic, but when Belichick was his coach, he's like, nope.
Goes to show you how much he despised him at the end and how fractured that really was. You guys are making it up. Were we? Were we really? Here's, again, the proof that we were right and you were wrong to doubt. Tom Brady is a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A visual that is now really jarring. It wasn't initially, Chris, when they put out the stills from the official social media account, like him in the pewter uniform and like, you know, the different permutations of the Bucs uniform. I was like, all right, like the pewter one, I'm into. Like, it looks cool. But then they had a video this week of him and Gronk and some of the, you know, it was them taking those photos, but it was live video.
Yeah.
And it showed him doing the throw motion and the running out of the tunnel type, the LFG thing. And
Yeah,
it was weird. Like, that was the first one. Because I've been thinking, like, you know, if they do play these games, we're still in for it. It's going to be so jarring to see Tom Brady actually, you know, throw and play in that uniform, and then having just seen those, that little bit of snippets of video just for the photos they were taken. I watched it in real time on Felger and Maz midweek, and I was, Mike was like, mean, you had a reaction there, didn't you? I was like, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. It was just gross. Because the Bucks are like, oh, they're so low rent. I said, it was an analogy you would appreciate, Chris.
Okay.
It's like Kendall Jenner modeling for Sears. You know, like, there's a standard there.
I do appreciate that analogy.
I knew you
That's
would.
That's very good.
You would only expect to see her modeling for, you know, the highest of high-end stores, and the highest of high-end fashion designers. But here's Kendall
Givenchy.
Yeah, but now here's Kendall Jenner for, like, mom jeans from Sears. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform, let's be honest, it's gross. I'm rooting for him. I think he's going to ball out this year and have a ridiculous
season. Screw this break. Keep going with this analogy. I love this analogy.
I knew you would like
it. Yeah,
yeah.
I am down for this. I could also tell you, we're going to go right past this break. I'm like 98% sure that on one of my many trips to L.A., I was behind Kendall Jenner while she was in this like Ferrari drop top. And I wasn't following her. We just happened to be going the same way. But I think at some point she thought that I was in this little like Honda Accord, that I was like the paparazzi following her. So she like sped up and like slammed into this like gated driveway thing like so fast. And
oh.
I was like, wow. But yeah, I kept looking like, I kept sort of looking in her like rear view, not her rear view. Yeah. Was that rear view? Yeah.
Yeah.
Her rear view mirror. And I could see the face and I'm like, I think that's Kendall Jenner. I'm like 98% sure.
And she probably didn't think you were paparazzi, just a creep trying to get a look here.
Beep, beep. Hello, Miss Jenner.
That's the great thing about L.A., right? There's a lot of traffic. So it's like, you know, you're just sitting there at a light, and I'm kind of looking, and I'm like, I think that's Kendall Jenner. And you're looking in the mirror like, that's Kendall Jenner.
Yeah. That is a striking-looking lady. That is for damn sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just, you know, again, you wouldn't see her in slacks from Sears. It doesn't make sense.
And it's not like Kendall Jenner for like, you know, Madewell.
Yeah. And so there's one of those scenes that they showed of Brady, like with the Bucks thing and the, you know, the end of the helmet, like the, you know, by the neck. And it's like, oh man, that does look weird to see it in motion. It's just, ugh, ugh.
Well, that's a great analogy, Jim. You just made the show for me.
Thanks, Chris. I knew you, believe me, it went over like a lead balloon to those two, but you know, I'm glad I knew you would get it. Okay, time for the headlines here. Get you updated. If you didn't know, the Celtics have their schedule for the first 8 games. Get you updated there. And we'll continue the Patriots conversation. Want to know if you're mad at Brady for these posts that he's had on Instagram this week. You want to join the show, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.